This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. After a week's hiatus, Albert and Sam are back with me. And this time we're building you up to Everton's trip to Selhurst Park at 4:30 on Sunday. Sort of pretty much the worst kickoff that exists in the Premier League weekend. Albert, it was all your fault we missed last week.
Fuck you.
It actually wasn't Albert's fault. Albert was solid, available two nights running, and everyone else fell away from the wayside, so we'll let him off.
I feel like a fraud now. I did an Albert. I wasn't on holiday, but I was missing.
MIA. Apologies for last week. We tried to make it happen, but it seemed like the universe was conspiring against us. Trying to get it done was like Palace trying to win without James McArthur in midfield, but we'll get more into that in a bit. Let's do this.
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer?
Albert's got a beer. He's having a lovely big old sup there on a big can of Heineken.
Yeah, was it the last pod we did where we got accused of sounding like a load of women at a bar? Mate, I'm guessing because we were talking about drinking wine.
Yeah, the BBS referred to us as sounding like a bunch of screaming women at a wine bar.
Yeah, I mean,
is that an insult? I mean, I took it as a compliment.
I don't know why that's a derogatory. Go on.
I was going to say it makes my social life sound a lot better than it actually is. I'm at home in a room staring at you two on video.
Hey, there's worse things to be looking at. We haven't got faces. I've no face of radio here. We could be literally primetime ITV.
I'm trying to think what is primetime ITV these days.
It's just Ant and Dec, innit?
Yeah, no disrespect to you boys. You are not Ant and Dec.
Oh, no. Ant and Dec did have a pop at Boris Johnson today, though. So fair play to Ant and Dec.
Fair play to Ant and Dec. Mm. You're too hairy to be Ant and Dec, you two. You're more like the hairy bikers.
Hesk, if you're drinking water there, I see.
I am. I did finish a Red Stripe pre-record, the empty bottle of which.
You've had that empty bottle for fucking months. You hold it up. You say, I had one before.
Just
fucking hell. Yeah.
Yeah, peer pressuring people into drinking. Yeah. Excellent behaviour in 2021.
Just make sure there's some cheese with it, yeah? And you don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone, yeah. And whatever you do, don't share that £50 note with your fellow MPs. I'm unfortunately on hot toddies this week. I'm feeling a bit rough, lads. Don't know what's happened.
Isn't a hot toddy alcoholic?
It is, yeah. Mine is very boozy. I put a lot of brandy goes into the making of my hot toddies.
I love it. I'm ill. I'm sorry. So I'm just drinking a lot of brandy. Like,
yeah. Then, like, when I was a kid, that's what would happen if you were sick. You just get a little
dip of brandy on your dummy. You don't get that as a kid.
Ah, that explains so much.
Mummy, is this craft brandy?
Yes, Terence, it's rusk infused. Aptamil is.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, with notes of Frutella. I don't know. What are those yogurts called? The little yogurts that babies have.
Petit Filou.
Petit Filou.
Hey, they're not just for babies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was having some beer last night. I was with friend of the pod, Nick. And he's going through a Tiny Rebel, former friends of the pod, advent calendar, which has like got beers on it each day. And all of a sudden he just sneaks in this one. I take one like big swig of it and I'm just like, what the fuck is that? And he just starts laughing at me. And it was an 18% marshmallow something or the other. Fuck it hell.
18? Is it it's a shame it's not the percentage of the day of the week. So, you know, 1st December is a very weak 1%. And then you come Christmas Eve, you're just off your nut.
Lying on the floor.
24% proof passion fruit bongo juice or something.
Yeah, indeed. So, how are we doing on beer blurbs? Look at his face.
He even got a message beforehand to remind
you. It's just a use of the royal we. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it, you know, someone else had done one this week. How are we doing? Yeah, I might have done one.
Sweet. I mean, I played around with the idea of doing one for Bobby Mims and calling it a hot Bobby in ode of my hot toddy tonight. But
I'd have gone with Mims O'Clock.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. But he only played one game for Palace. Shout out if you remember that back in 1996. I think it was one of those. Was it one of those emergency loans? That kind of shit happened back then, didn't it? Can't remember.
Yeah.
I was racking my brains. I remember him being at the club. I just don't remember him playing. But it was.
You sent a name, Thomas Meyer, which was a name that I hadn't recalled for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's goalkeeper centric. Played for both clubs. On that list, you had Carlo Nash, Ian Turner, George Wood, Bobby Mims as a goalkeeper as well, Nigel Martin, all of them. A lot.
Yeah.
So who are you going for?
Well, my beer blurb this week is called Magic Hat.
Hang on. So you said in the past, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do a Friedman one because you're not going after Friedman because you respect him too much. So what are you saying about AJ?
No, you've made an assumption that I've gone in. You don't have to go in on him. You don't have to. It just turns out that tends to be what happens. You'll get hoodwinked into drinking this little pale stubby after someone's nabbed one of your all-time favourite drinks and you're left with no other option. But underestimate it at your peril. It hits the spot every time. Apart from that spell when he was rubbish or when he got played on the left by Sven Göran Eriksson. Goes down easily, some say a little too easily, but it's a good accompanying for a massive burger. Not available in Brighton. Fuck Brighton.
Yes. Excellent work.
Good. Enjoyed that.
Good.
And looking forward to in a few weeks being able to share these quips in real life as we have collectively got tickets together for Albert's beloved Golden Boys.
Yeah, he's
got the horns.
He's having to sit in the way in though, so I don't know how you're gonna sit in your hands or
yeah. Sit on your hands. I don't
worry about it, you won't get beat up by the Palace fans. Too busy beating each other up.
I don't know where to throw a punch. I told you, just going back to AJ, did I tell you I saw him at Centre Parks?
When?
June, I think it was. I was in Centre Parks. He cycled past me, and I was like, that's Andy Johnson. And I thought, I'll leave it. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to leave it.
I'm going to stalk him like I did Neil Shipperley.
No. Were you on a bike and you chased?
No, he was on a bike. I was walking. I was walking to the Crazy Golf, and he cycled past me the other way. And I was like, oh, yeah, like I say, I was like, yeah, I'll leave it. No, I won't. And he must have been a good 20 meters away. And I just went, he goes. And that. And he stopped, almost emergency stopped on the bike. And he looked around, little thumbs up, carried on, never saw him again.
Boy, did you like the plague.
Yeah, I didn't tell him that I'd also walked behind him on the marathon march for about two hours. 5 years ago, whatever that was.
So in terms of lifetime achievements, does that rank higher or lower than shouting Robot Wars at Jonathan Pearce?
Oh, nothing will beat shouting Robot Wars at Jonathan Pearce.
Good stuff. But talking about Watford tickets, I saw the club tweet yesterday that Watford away is now sold out. And it completely left my brain, Heskip, that you'd got me a ticket. Yeah, and I was like, fuck!
It also had left my brain that I'd done it, because I had the exact same feeling. And I was like, wait, I bought them. Why am I worried?
Just to check, you did buy them, didn't you? You did buy them.
I also went to check my receipt email just to make sure. And yes, we're all going.
I got a bit of a dressing down from the old man for being like, you know, I always called Watford. Why didn't you get me in on that action? And then it turned out he literally messaged just after we were messaging each other and you booked him. So he's got the seat right next to us. So,
perfect.
Unfortunately, I couldn't shake him for that fixture.
I'll sit next to him. Don't worry.
Right. So we missed the Man U preview, didn't we? Is what we didn't get to. So that means we missed. Fault. Yeah, well, my fault, Heskey's fault, Hambo's fault, my baby's fault for screaming the house down, all sorts of problems. But Leeds away, I obviously had the double booking dilemma of realizing after I'd already booked train tickets to Leeds just before the tickets came out, I'd actually double booked that evening months and months before for my missus' birthday present. And went to see Shag Married Annoyed podcast being recorded at the O2, which was all right. But it was a military operation to try and avoid the score from the Leeds game. And I told everyone, don't tell me the score. I'm going to watch it as live when I get home. So WhatsApp got muted everywhere. Turned off notifications from Twitter. My phone was on airplane mode. It was only in my pocket so I could use my COVID pass to get into the O2. Had a slight scare inside. In the interval, the dickhead sitting in front of us pulls up the Palace app on his phone, like during the interval. I'm like, out of all the fucking places you could have sat with your Palace app, you dickhead. But
I like it how he's the dickhead. Like, all he's done is, he's just done something quite normal. He just wants to know what the score is last time.
I managed to avoid it. Get home. You can't watch it on Amazon as live straight away because it takes a while to actually be uploaded. So wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch it as live from 5 o'clock in the morning. And just before I start work, they fucking get the penalty.
Ironically, that's around the time that I got home from Leeds.
But the again, Nick, as who I mentioned earlier, messaged the missus and said, "Just he's not going to watch it. Just tell him what the score was and what happened, and he won't want to watch it." But she was, "No, I'm not going to tell him." But he said, "Don't tell me whatever it is. Don't tell me." With hindsight, I wish I'd said, "If we lose to nil, just let me know, because I won't watch it if we lose to nil." And anyone want to touch on Benteke's miss?
Well, having been there and sort of almost level with the goal line, from the angle we were at,
you must have just assumed it was in.
Yeah.
Because you can't miss.
Yeah. And it wasn't. And the Leeds fans near us made it very clear to us how silly we were thinking that it was in.
Yeah.
But as I mean, the highlight of this is how bad it was. The highlight of the day was getting a lift off DR, who kindly drove us there and back. Some of the questions that man asks, absolutely insane.
Right, okay. Be DR and ask Albert the questions.
Oh, God. I was just about to do it as well. I can't. Me and DR are mates now.
All right, just ask. You can ask him in your own voice.
Right, I'll ask. Okay. Albert, how many tigers live free in Texas?
DR?
He dropped that bomb. And then he was like, Vanessa, there's loads in it. You live in Texas. So my wife from Texas. And she was like, no, there are not loads of tigers roaming around. He was like, there are. Google it. 3,900. So it turns out there are loads of tigers roaming around.
Oh, I was going to say 3,901.
You're doing close. Tiger King got one. then it was quiet for a little while. We were sort of just listening to music or whatever. And out of nowhere, he goes, so, and I'll do it to you, Albert, what do you think actually happens in Area 51? No context.
Sorry, what's that there?
Yeah, Area 51.
Was that like the block you were in at Leeds or something?
And then it turned into, he was asking us, like, what conspiracy theories do we believe? what conspiracy theories do we think are actually true? Which morphed into, is Australia actually real? So this is where we're at. That combined with Nick Gillard's dad jokes every sort of half an hour.
So hang on, it was you, Vanessa, Nick and DR in the car.
And, Nick's son, Will, who just basically told Nick to shut up every time Nick told a joke, which was quite funny.
What's this? Is this three in the back, two in the front?
Yeah.
Where was the podcast for this?
Yeah, podcast, as we used to do back in the day.
It was, a mistake was made by not recording. It was a very fun drive up.
Wait. Albert, who do you think got shotgun?
Nick.
I mean, I really hope it was Vanessa.
No, it was me, of course.
What?
You that's outrageous.
You planted your wife in the back with Nick and his son.
Hey.
Can I just explain my answer? I went, well, it's not Hesketh because he'd have sat in the back with Vanessa. Therefore, it can't be Vanessa because Hesketh would have sat in the back with Vanessa. Nick would have pulled rank over. No. Get in the back.
Hadn't Vanessa landed from Texas, no sleep, straight into the car to go to Leeds away, and you plonked her in the back? What was she? Was she sleeping on Nick's shoulder?
Well, DR picked us up first, and I was like, do you want me to sit in the back? Well, actually, what I said was, if we both sit in the back now, DR will look like an Uber driver. So I got in the front. And then Nick and Will got in, neither of whom are short. Bearing in mind, I am short. I'm like 5'9". And so they squished in the back. I felt fine, to be honest. My legroom was ample. Vanessa went to sleep in the corner until she was woken up with chat about how many tigers live in Texas.
She needed to verify it, didn't she? Obviously.
She did. She woke up thinking it was a fever dream. She was in the car being asked about tigers, but it was real.
I'd like to take this moment just say shout out to anyone from the BBS listening, waiting for the Palace chat. If you fast forward about another 30 minutes, I think...
You sound like a bunch of pissed women at a bar banging on about fucking tigers.
Banging on about Area 51 again. So that was a plus. And then the drive home, we got home at 4 a.m., which was shit.
Did that include a stop anywhere?
Nick's house.
Oh, wow. So straight through.
We tried to stop at the services, but everything was closed. So we just went through. It's
pretty cool, isn't it, to make London a London team play away in Yorkshire at 8:15 on a Tuesday night?
Great. A couple of people behind me had to leave a little bit early to get their train. Mm. Obviously, they left at 0-0. So hopefully, if they're listening, it was 0-0, guys.
We should put in an appeal to the Premier League to actually get a point. when we left, it was 0-0. That counts.
Exactly, yeah.
But you're not finished with DR stories there, are you? Because then DR at Old Trafford happened.
Yeah, so me and another group of friends went up to Man U on Sunday, and when we sort of filed, well, we were having a drink beforehand, and DR walked past us, and we asked him, you know, how's your week?
Did Vanessa get a drink, or did you just get one for yourself?
Vanessa stayed in London, actually. She'd had enough. You know, she'd been away from me for 2 weeks, and then within 2 days, she was like,
I'm not coming
to Manchester, mate. But DR walked past us, and we were like, how's your weekend been? He said, oh, I've just come from A&E because we were all ice skating, and we think my friend's broken his ankle. And I was like, and where's your friend? Oh, he's still in hospital. We'll go back there after. So when we walked up, and the entire row in front of us was DR and the rest of his mates. There was like 8 of them. So I guess the 9th was just laid up in a hospital.
So they went up ice skating in Manchester.
Yeah.
And then
sort of rolled his ankle or whatever and had to go to hospital. And I think they all just binned him off and went to football.
Well, I think that's fair. It's probably what he would have wanted.
I'm sure it is. I mean,
not allowed 8 visitors at hospitals these days anyway.
We also would have been spared questions about God knows what. Is the Queen a lizard? And he's captive there, is he? If he's broken his ankle and he's lying in a hospital bed, he ain't going anywhere. But at the end of the game,
if you was a lizard, you probably wouldn't break your ankle, to be fair. So
that's true. Mm. But at the end of the game, I sort of we were right by the Man United fans, and I sort of turned to chat to my mates. So I had my back to him. And when I turned back round, DR was leaning over the sort of balcony bit, absolutely going mad at all of them, giving them loads of shit, which was great to see. For a good, like, a solid minute, like, I could only see, obviously, the back of his head, but he was shaking. He was enraged. And then he just turned round and was like, all right, lads, see you at Everton, and just walked off.
So I've got to go. We've got a go-kart in slot after the match.
Yeah. We've got an escape room to get to.
Yeah. Laser tag? Anyone? Laser tag?
Jesus, could you imagine being in an escape room with DR? One of the clues just sends him off on some conspiracy theory rant. Right, so we've got so far to point two of my like 15-point agenda for tonight. So good work, lads. We're only 20 minutes in.
Quarter past 10, fuck's sake.
Palace played in the FA Youth Cup tonight, third round away at Barnsley.
True. Next point, go.
True. sum it up in 30 seconds, Hesketh.
First half was quite boring. Second half, we messed up and Barnsley scored, and then we came back to win.
Good. Albert, Bruce Dyer's son came off the bench for Barnsley in this game. Josiah.
Bruce Dyer's son.
Hootsman, there's a Bruce loose about this hoose. Da, 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 da. That was his train song.
Then how old is Bruce Dyer's son?
16, 17.
I'd expect Bruce Dyer's son to be older than that, but no, fair enough.
Bruce Dyer is only 46.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I did just Wikipedia that. I don't know Bruce Dyer's age. Just
has he got any banging sports brand logos shaved into his head? Because that was, I remember thinking that was the best thing I'd ever seen when I saw that.
Yeah, it's true. The Adidas thing.
With the kit as well. Like,
yeah, it was legit. When I was 15, that was legit. Yeah,
yeah. I couldn't do it now, even though I wanted to.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a logo that's just got a massive empty bit in the middle, like a polo. I could probably do polo. I could do a polo logo on my own.
I could get Tiny Rebel or something. Go for a good brewery.
Drop it, will you? Beg a friend.
I actually need to start pushing more towards Dayer, actually. That's my favourite brewery. We'll contact them, see if they want to send us some free beer, which will inevitably end up at Albert's house and he'll just fucking piss it down the drain. Dickhead. but it's not been the only FA Cup action this week. Oh, just to note that Palace play at Selhurst in the fourth round against Wolves. for that game. I keep saying the third and fourth round. Is it the third and fourth round? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. So Palace at home to Wolves. So look out for that. Assuming Boris's lockdown sort of thing doesn't extend more, we should be able to get in to see that. But Palace have been drawn away, as Chris from One More Point points out, for the 19th time of the last 24 third-round FA Cup draws. We've been drawn away in the third round.
Oh, yeah.
Can you think of the five where we weren't?
Grimsby.
That was when IU scored in like the 87th minute. We won 1-0.
Albert's getting ready to say something here about IU. He's perked up.
I was really... the pull of me standing there being like, it's going to be a replay away in Grimsby on a Tuesday night. And the masochist in me not wanting us to get the winner. Being like, fancy Grimsby away on a Tuesday. Yeah, can you remember any more, Albert?
Did we... I know.
What did you say? It was five out of the last how many years?
24.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Draw. I think we had a home draw in the first round of the year we got to the final.
Weren't we away at Southampton? I think we only played at home once in that. That was right. Only once in that draw. We beat so someone at home 1-0, Stoke 1-0,
that
yeah.
That was the fourth round, wasn't it? Yeah. I think Albert's right there, but...
No, Leeds later. When Harry Kewell scored against us, that was like quarter final or fifth round or something. Sixth round, yeah.
Passed.
Liverpool, when we won 2-0 up there on the replay, we drew 0-0 at our place and Chris Kirkland done his ACL for Liverpool. Was that a third round game?
Was that Dele Adebola?
Dele Adebola played, yeah. I think Julian Gray scored. Oh, Dele Adebola done Kirkland, you mean?
Yeah. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
It was definitely that era.
Yeah, definitely that era, because Adebola definitely played up at Anfield in the replay. I'm sort of scouring around me here looking for the issue of One More Point. I'm sure it was listed in there on a page, but can't find it. So,
shout out Dele Adebola, by the way.
Always thought like it shows signs that you thought he was going to actually be good from this point on, and then it just he just stopped.
Then you go another 12 games of being utter shite.
Yeah, it's true. What a time to be a Palace fan that was. That was the same year when Danny Granville scored that free kick against Millwall at Selhurst.
That was a great free kick.
Mm. Run around swinging a shirt around his head and we draw 1-1.
fit in a Brighton.
Right. So I don't know. You can contact us if you want, if you remember who the other five are. Although saying that, by that point, I just looked at One More Point and found out. So there you go. But Millwall away. Are we excited? What are you saying, Albert?
Yeah, exciting.
I mean, you've prepped by watching Rise of the Foot Soldier Origins and you've ordered the box set.
Yeah. Not yet. am I excited? Well, if I was going, I might be excited. I'm not going to get there. I'm doing too many games over the festive period as it is. I think I've reached my limit. But yeah, it's always nice to do a more local derby that's, you know, in the cup as well. I guess that throws in some magic. I mean, that's the only way we're going to play them over the next few years, I'm sure. So yeah, it's an exciting fixture. I love the FA Cup. I particularly like third round. It's one of the best weekends in football. So the more I talk, the more I'm getting excited about it, actually. Yeah, Palace away at Millwall in the third round of the FA Cup is, it's juicy.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to it. But the draw's happening and on the TV, and my wife is paying particular attention to this draw. And I'm thinking it's just because she's kind of like, don't care who you get away from home, you're not fucking going kind of scenario. And comes up Millwall and I'm just like off the fucking, I'm like, yes, like I'm at, like that scene from Football Factory when West Ham draw them and they're all like, fucking yes, like that's, I was jumping off the sofa. She was like, well you can't go. And I was like, she's like, is it safe for you to go? I'm like, yes. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, I'm obviously going to Millwall away. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this isn't even up for debate. The next day she's like, right, I've been having thinking about it. The reason why I was so adamant that you weren't going for Millwall, because that weekend for your Christmas present, I was going to take you to see PSG play. I was like, oh. She's like, but I can't now because of COVID, so don't worry about it. You can go to Millwall instead. I was like, oh, so that explains why you were paying very close attention to it. But, you know, if we would have drawn Harrogate Town away, I'd have been like, sorry, Messi. Sorry, Mbappe. Got to go Harrogate Town away. New stadium and all that. But yeah, super excited for that. And of course, then if that will be on the weekend, then the following week, Friday night, we've got Brighton away. The weekend before, we got West Ham at home. On the day, if they both end up on the Saturday, it could be Palace at Millwall and Leeds at West Ham on the same weekend. Yeah. I think everyone in the Met Police is going to be booking off annually. And you'll leave for that weekend. Or I worked over Christmas. I need some time off.
Or that's when they'll decide to investigate the cheese and wine party at the Downing Street. We are going to look into that.
How mad is that? We don't look at retrospective crimes. By definition, every single crime you look at is retrospective. What are you talking about?
Only those future ones.
It's like that Tom, your mate's film, Tom Cruise's film.
Minority report.
Yeah. What do they call those precogs? Yeah, the precogs.
Yeah.
Did you work on that film?
Nah. Not that old.
I didn't think so. The art direction was really good on that. Shots fired. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, obviously. You've worked on some of the biggest and most successful movies of all time, and I bow down to your professional prowess.
I'd just like to point out, like the holiday thing, I've said nothing. You know, I've not even mentioned my job, and Terrence just gone in on me. I could have said nothing and just let it go. He's obsessed.
I have no idea what art direction is. A few weeks back, I went to see a movie with a mate who was working on it. I think I might have mentioned it. I went to see with John Petrie, I went to see the People Just Do Nothing movie. And I just had a thought yesterday that his name would have come up in the credits. And like as soon as the film, like the credits started coming out, I was up and out of that room. I should have probably been staying to look for his name on the screen. So if you're listening, John, apologies for that, mate. Should have been getting
Netflix,
a picture of you next
Netflix,
to it.
Netflix generation, that is.
Well, you can't get through the credits. Like 15 seconds later, you're getting the credits for you're getting a preview for another movie. It automatically pushes it.
Not if you press the back button.
Is that why you invited me to the Spider-Man one? Because you knew that I'd have to sit through the credits to see the mid and post credit scenes.
And yeah, exactly.
I would have to see your name up on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit weird when you made me applaud, though.
I don't remember making you.
Oh dear, we're in December. What are we now? We're December 8th on day of recording here. Tis the season to be jolly and all that. Hesketh, it's not so jolly at the moment, is it? Fan base is falling apart. You must be fucking reveling in it.
I'm loving it. I went to, one of the people I went to Manchester with was Miserable Dave, and I sort of mentioned the three games coming up and said, you know, how many points do you think we're going to get? He says one.
Oh.
Which is quite positive for him. I think becoming a dad has made him positive. You know? No, it's just weird. I mean, it's just the Leeds and the Man United performances. Man United was all right. Leeds' performance was pretty dead. But, you know, it just goes to show how important both Joachim Andersen and James McArthur are for the team, doesn't it? I mean, we defend him way deeper. We can't get the ball forward. Gallagher hasn't got that sort of energetic runner next to him. And it just, it sort of shows that we're potentially, the way we want to play is more dependent on those two players who are injured than we would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote about missing James McArthur on the BBC. Shout out to anyone who read that.
Shout out to anybody who had 34 minutes and 6 seconds in the Terence mention in the fucking BBC sweepstake.
Your prize will be in the post to anyone who had it. But the first point of people falling apart, I don't know what you guys' opinion is of this, Albert. Guaita, the penalty against Leeds, Palace fans losing their shit, saying that he should have saved it and he's shit and we need to put Butland in goal. Am I taking crazy pills here?
No, that, you know, he's been diddled with the sort of, you know, the fancy style of pen that seems to be creeping back into football. You know, it's a penalty. It's 50-50. Most of them don't get saved. So it's not like he's been.
It's 50-50. Most of them don't get saved. That's quick maths there.
That's the Heineken for you. But it is, don't it? You either save him or you don't. And not luck,
or they hit the post or kick or it over the, or yeah, wide. Exactly.
Or John Terry falls over and spoons it over the bar.
Or Pires just kind of rolls it to Omri, or was it the other way around?
Oh, that was ridiculous. But yeah, I just on a side note, like I remember I was out that night and I was checking the phone, dickhead, and saw the 1-0 late result and was in the car on the way home. So I had no context of the result. I'd seen it was a last minute penalty, and I don't know if it was Five Live or Talk Sport, but they were talking like Leeds had won like the fucking Champions League by like 6-0, and they were interviewing, I don't know which Leeds player it was. They'll talk about how amazing it was that they were back to their best and the performance was really good and they really deserved that win, and you know, we played so well, we really deserved it. And I was thinking, it was only fucking 1-0, 94th minute pen. Mm. You know, I watched the extended highlights on Amazon, and yeah, I mean, it looked like we had a couple of decent chances or a couple of decent spells, but it certainly didn't look like a vintage romping performance from Leeds.
No, again, the guy at the Leeds season ago I've been working with, I spoke to had a full debrief with him the following day, and he just said, like, we got lucky. We never looked like scoring again, like that, and that's the problem they've been having without Bamford. And he said it was just the same thing. If it wasn't for a lucky handball, and you got to feel hard for the guy because he's trying to put his arm up to feel for the attacker in front of him. He's not putting his hand up to handball the ball, is he? He's trying to sort of hold off, and he's just a bit further away from the guy than he thought he was. So, yeah.
I thought it was a penalty.
Oh, it's 100% a penalty. Like, if your arm's up there, and yeah, it's just unlucky because his arm's up there for a reason, but he just couldn't get close enough to the attacker. And then the fact that the attacker's then missed it is unlucky for him as well, because... But yeah, it's absolutely, once it hits his arm, it's absolutely a penalty. You can't. And it's something really, you know, 6:40 in the morning when you've got up early to watch it. And you're sitting there just going, why didn't anybody tell me this? This is obviously a penalty. He's going to go to the screen. He's going to give a penalty. And I'm like, why the fuck did anybody tell me? And like Linda, the clue should have been that the miss had got up and walked out the room in the 89th minute. I was like, oh, fuck, she knew what was coming. But, yeah. But Guaita should have saved that penalty. The fact that he readjusted and managed to go back the right way after the guy had sold him with the eyes, like, behave yourselves. If you ask any Stoke fans and look at Butland before his last two seasons at Stoke, you might not be so quick about wanting him in the first team. Believe me on that. He needs a lot of coaching to sort of get back to the levels he was at before, and hopefully that's what's going on behind the scenes. But there was an article the other day, Henderson was talking about how Guaita is one of the best goalkeepers he's ever seen in terms of training with and seeing up close, and you can't underestimate how good that he's been for us. And this short-termism is just nonsense. Like, forget about it. He's a very good goalkeeper and we're lucky to have him, and stop losing your shit. Round two, there's someone else. I've had two hot toddies with a lot of brandy in, so I need to refer to my list. Are you miss of the century against Manchester United? Are people having a fucking laugh? Christian Benteke's miss against Leeds was fucking miss of the century when taken into consideration it's on Benteke's head and all he has to do is just literally cushion it into the goal. Ayew's missed, but aside from the fact he's offside and the size of the fact that he's clearly crossing it, it's coming down, Hesketh, from a height and a very extremely narrow angle near the byline. So why are people trying to make this out like this is the final straw for Ayew?
I've got to be honest, I haven't watched it back on the telly. And from much like the Benteke header, when he hit it, he seemed to hit, like, from we were like sort of level with him as he was hitting it. As soon as he hit it, everyone thought it was him until we saw it sort of like roll along the outside, the other side of the goal. So I haven't seen it back, to be honest, but, you know, about, like you say, apparently it was offside anyway. But again, yeah, I think everyone gets a little bit hyperbolic with this sort of stuff, don't they? It's either absolutely awful or the best thing ever. I just want him to score.
Just go.
Oh, Jordan. I quite like Jordan, are you still? I actually thought he played right against Leeds, certainly in the first half.
Yeah, he had a very good first half against Leeds, that's for sure.
But yeah, so I unfortunately, I didn't want to relive that Man United game. come back to London and go to bed.
I'd have to relive it for the first time because I fucking had to listen to it on the radio. 2 o'clock Sunday game. I just assumed it was on Sky, so I agreed to go to my mum's house with the family to have an early Christmas with some people. And just assuming I'd be able to watch it on Sky.
I love that. Coming around for family Christmas, but I am intending on sitting down and watching the football at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, everyone understands that it's just a given. So instead, they just have to listen to the dreadful commentary on BBC Radio 5 Live, whatever it was.
I'll let you off dropping the BBC there. I will let you off.
I was bad mouthing it in that sense. So, yeah, not great.
Friends of the show?
Right. I suppose we should talk about Everton then. Albert, we've got to be happy that they got the win against Arsenal, so they're off of this winless run, which always seems to inevitably end against us. And B, we're playing a team that hasn't recently sacked their manager.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the fact that they've broken their, you know, their duck. So that's actually quite good. Yeah, that's made me feel a bit more positive because, yeah, it's written in the stars, isn't it? If you're on a bad run, come to Selhurst, we'll roll over for you. Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. That Arsenal-Everton game was quite a good watch for a neutral. And, you know, they sort of grew into the game and deserved it. I mean, I've never seen a player score a hat-trick and have two of them ruled off by VAR. You know, at that point, there was loads of people on Twitter, you know, oh, this boat doesn't bode well for Sunday because, you know, he's obviously having goals ruled out left, right and centre and that won't happen against us. But, you know, one was given in the end. They've got their win, and hopefully we can bring them back down to earth with a bit of a bump. But they don't look particularly good. But they, at the same time, they don't look particularly bad, I don't think. And I think it's key for us who is and isn't available.
Mm. Yeah. So there's obviously hopes that Anderson and MacArthur might be back, but I doubt the latter. That they'll risk it this soon. It's not really clear. Is it clear what's wrong with Anderson? I'm not really. I don't remember hearing or seeing anything to say this is what the problem is. But you know, by saying they're looking at him day to day, suggests that he must be pretty close. although we're all short lived and remember him just getting battered by Chris Wood for most of the time up at Turf Moor. So I don't know, but yeah, we certainly miss his passing out from the back. And although he could probably fail on Tompkins because he was very, very, very decent against Leeds and United. So, yeah, but you forget that he is also a very, very good centre-back, you know. But
Yeah, he's just different, you know. It's not the same style.
One thing I think we definitely need to do is not play Schlupp in the middle. Against Leeds, he had an all right spell in the first half and then tailed off quite a lot in the second. And I thought he was pretty awful against Man U. I was surprised that he stayed the 90 minutes. You know, we took Cech off, which I thought was a bit weird because he was having a good game.
I'm assuming at the end they were just trying to look for his pace right in behind and hope that we can get something off the counter.
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't think he's really shown it in the last couple of games. And I know we've banged on about having Will Hughes, but he looked, I mean, he didn't have much to do when he came in against Leeds, but he looked all right. And I just feel like he's more of a MacArthur type player than Schlupp.
And I think
a midfield of Cech, like I quite like Cech as the sort of like furthest midfielder back, and then Gallagher and I would say Hughes sort of running around.
Well, it's kind of like a three, isn't it? Like a 1-1-1, like one's defensive, one's central, and one is more attacking. And I think based on the last few games, it's clear that Connor needs to be back in that more advanced role because he's trying to fill in MacArthur and he's just not doing it. Now, maybe this is a good thing that he goes for a 5-6 game period where he's actually not the best player on the pitch for once, and Chelsea might want to knock some money off the price and actually sell him to us kind of scenario. But I think he's shown in the last few games that he's still got some ways to go in his development. And it's probably a good sign for us that, you know, we've all got carried away with how good he's been, and rightly so, because he has been brilliant. But definitely a bit of a drop off in the last few games. And so still a lot to learn. So maybe we will get another season out of him on loan next season at least. But I'd like to see Hughes come in and play that more sort of central role, and then have Gallagher back in pressing high up the pitch again, because that's where he causes all the errors for the opposition and steals the ball off them, which is a good match forecast on whoscored.com this week. Crystal Palace will steal the ball from the opposition often. Everton will steal the ball from the opposition often. Just going to be nicking it off each other constantly, back and forth. It's basically just going to be Ayew and Townsend constantly robbing each other of the ball. And then occasionally one of them getting a free kick by going down a bit too easy.
I thought when we were talking about the game after Man U, when, you know, Fred was sort of stood on outside the box completely in his zone with no pressure, I was like, I can see this happening against Everton on Andros. And he does that one little move where he cuts inside to the edge of the box and curls it top corner.
So, I've got to say, Hesketh, I'm shocked to hear that you think Townsend's going to score against us on the weekend.
I know we're not at predictions yet, but you could bet your house on me predicting.
So you can go for predictions now then. Just bear in mind that Palace have lost their last three. Everton have lost their last three away from home. So somebody's got to give somewhere, surely.
2-1 Everton.
Jesus. It's Townsend getting both of them, is he?
Richarlison will get one because I can't stand him.
Yeah. The glory days of Watford, Albert.
Yeah, and Decore.
Do you know what I did? I was shocked to find, and it shows how much attention I pay to football these days, that it's Moussa Sissoko in midfield for Watford. Didn't realise that.
Yeah. Not good enough for Spurs, but good enough for the Orns.
Oh, he almost said us.
What do you think, Albert? What's the score going to be?
I don't know. I'm still struggling with the fact that there's something unfortunate about the fact that we've got a relatively more informed Christian Benteke, but we don't have an Andros Townsend who can actually cross the ball into the box. But we do have a centre-half pairing that aren't great in the air against Andros Townsend, who can now put really good balls in the box.
Oh my God, you're taking a leaf out of my book there, mate.
But to be fair, he is putting them into Solomon Rondon, who just can't seem to do anything right at the moment. Yes. He does everything well to the finish, and then either the goal he pulls off a weldie or he puts it wide or something. So
yeah, but I always forget Richarlison is surprisingly good in the air. Like you think he's this sort of, you know, tricky winger come striker, but he is actually pretty decent in the air. So in terms of predictions, I'm still going to err on the side of optimism, if only to drown out Heskey's negative bullshit. I'm going to go 1-0 Palace.
Who's going to score?
Palace.
Townsend OG.
Yeah.
And runs off and celebrates him with Wilf.
Who's going to score? Conor Gallagher's going to score.
I don't know. 1-0 Everton. I just got a bad feeling about this one. Got a bad feeling about it. And it'll probably be Richarlison. So sorry to end it on a bit of a downer there. But you know, the smile on Heskey's face, if you could see Sam Heskey right now, his grin is just like the fucking Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. Just like, and now he's just going to fade off into the distance with just leaving his smile behind. Thanks for listening. Apologies again last week for not getting any content out to you. We hope you forgive us. It is Christmas after all. Let us off. I think we're back next Wednesday, right? No, do we play next Wednesday? We've got Southampton. So we'll try and figure it out. I would assume we probably do there'll be some kind of joint review of Southampton, preview of
Watford.
So we'll probably do that on the Thursday. We'll try, maybe we'll draft in Hambo or something as a foursome. Get Hambo to talk about the game if we can make that happen. Who knows? He might be on a hot date or something. might not to be able to get him, you know, it's not soon enough, not booked him in advance enough. But yeah, so keep peeled to our socials for that. We'll let you know what's going on there. Look out for all the usual stuff at youtube.com/backofthenest for more Towers of DR. I don't think he talks about conspiracy theories on there, but who knows? there's still a while of seasons to go yet. But yeah, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Heskey. Thanks to Albert for joining. We'll speak to you all next week. Until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.